fresh from the Rusted Culture Podcast.
Well, we've got some interesting stuff happening here on the financial front. I just want to go through. So yesterday, June 25th, we had an article on CNBC that basically said, hey, guess what? U.S. banking regulators are about to ease restrictions created in the aftermath of the Great Recessions, a development that sent the bank stocks surging on Thursday. Of course, they're probably, no doubt, the market's down about 500 right now, so they're no doubt unwinding the gains that they made yesterday. But banking regulators are looking to roll back this regulation as a part of a broad push that's being made by the White House to roll back regulations that were put in place by previous administrations. And of course, we're talking about things that Obama did. So at this point, what Trump is trying to do, his obsession with Obama, it's clinical. In fact, it's beyond clinical at this point. So the Volcker Rule is a part of the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act, which was passed in an attempt to prevent another financial crisis caused in part by irresponsible risk-taking at banks. That's what they want to loosen. And Sheila Bair chaired the FDIC for a five-year term that included the financial crisis. She's calling these changes ill-advised. She doesn't think it's a good idea. And I quote her here, and she says, as former chair of the FDIC, it won't surprise you to hear me say that $40 billion that will no longer be in banks to protect them against derivatives exposures will likely increase the risk to government. And she said that on an interview on CNBC's Squawk in the Street. So what Trump is doing here, folks, is allowing banks to take on more risk by rolling back a 2010 rule called that Volcker Rule, passed as a part of the Dodd-Frank Act. So by pushing that risk onto the federal government, by loosening the risk, he's pushing it onto the federal government because, let's face it, they're not going to let banks fail. So like the former chairperson of the FDIC says, that's a $40 billion buffer that banks won't have laying around. And Republicans are playing a dangerous game here by saying, let's loosen bank regulation. What they're doing is they're putting all of that risk away from, they're taking it away from the banks and they're putting it on big government. So it almost is comical here because it sounds like socialists, you know, it sounds like something a socialist government would do. Let's push this on to big government, the risk. Let's get it off of the banks and push it to big government. God, on one hand, they complain about socialism, but then they do stuff like this, which is basically socialist, you know, pushing the risk to the government, big government, by the way. Let's just hope there's four government agencies that have to sign off on this regulation. Let's hope that they don't do it. So that was yesterday, folks. Then after the closing bell yesterday, on Thursday, the Fed announces the annual stress test that they perform every year on banks, and it showed banks could get close to minimum capital levels in scenarios that are related to the coronavirus pandemic. So on one hand, you got them wanting to loosen regulation. Then on the other hand, you've got the Fed saying, hey, guess what? Our stress tests are showing that banks could get close to minimum capital levels. Oh, it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to quote the Fed Vice Chair Randall Quarles. He said in a statement yesterday, while I expect banks will continue to manage their capital actions and liquidity risk prudently and in support of the real economy, there is material uncertainty about the trajectory for the economic recovery. He's worried. There's material uncertainty about the trajectory for the economic recovery. So basically, folks, here there are two perils that I think we should be aware of. The first one is this: banks could get close to minimum capital levels in scenarios related to COVID. So what minimum capital scenarios are we talking about? What could cause that? Well, for one, folks, Mitch McConnell doesn't seem to care that extended unemployment benefits passed in the CARES Act are going dry on July 31st. That's a cliff, a financial cliff for millions of Americans, that extra $600 a week. It sounds like a lot of money. But if you don't know what in the heck the economy is going to do over the next year, and when you look all around and you see cases of COVID rising and a president that won't even encourage folks to wear a mask, that $600 that you got for a few months per week is getting squirreled away so you can survive what you don't know is coming, when it looks like things are crumbling all around you. So it doesn't even seem like Mitch McConnell will even negotiate with Democrats. So what do Republicans have to see before they sit down and negotiate? Do they have to see mass loan defaults on credit card debt, mass loan defaults on mortgages, and mass loan defaults on car loans before acting to at least negotiate? I mean, this is the kind of thing that creates minimum capital scenarios that the Fed vice chair is worried about. I mean, these are the things that will do that when you have mass defaults. So this July 31st date is approaching rapidly, and Republicans are evidently too busy to even sit down and negotiate with Democrats on extended unemployment benefits. I mean, there's a bunch of things Republicans could do and Democrats in negotiating this. Republicans could tie benefits to the unemployment rate. So as the unemployment rate comes down, so does the benefit. There's any number of things that they could do, folks, any number of things, but they just don't want to do anything. And it always, what kind of gets you every time is that it always seems like the American people have got to shed a little blood. They've got to show a little pain before Republicans even budge. So that's the first peril. The second peril here is that the trajectory of the current economic reopening and recovery itself is in doubt now, with rising COVID cases. So anyone looking at the rise in COVID levels that we're seeing all over the United States, they should be furious with Donald Trump right now. Absolutely furious with Donald Trump. And the reason why you should be furious is just do this. Take a look at Italy, Germany, and Spain right now, and look at the charts of their COVID infection levels since, say, February, March, going into today. They all took the worst of COVID like a speed bump. They went over it like a speed bump. When you look at those cases over time, graphed over time, looks like a speed bump. For us, meanwhile, here in the U.S., instead of taking this like a speed bump and having this in our rearview mirror, like Italy, Germany, and Spain, folks, we're downshifting here, still climbing the mountain, the COVID mountain, with no peak in sight. Why are we suffering? I mean, why are we still climbing the COVID mountain here? Why all the suffering and the death while they're not suffering? I mean, what's going on here? I mean, this is getting, there's something not quite right here. Why are we still suffering? Well, for one, Italy, Germany, and Spain, they don't have a president that's saying that we're testing too much. They don't have a president that refuses to tell people to wear face masks. And folks, one day, if we're still alive, if we're all still alive after this, one day we're going to look back and say, remember when Donald Trump wouldn't even tell people to wear face masks? Remember that? And how about when he said the COVID's going to go away with warmer weather? It's just all going to go away. Just going to blow away. How did we ever make it? I mean, that's what we're going to say when we look back. How did we ever make it? So on one hand, we're hearing bank regulators who want to weaken regulations put in place after the last financial banking crisis. Then we hear the Fed's annual stress test of banks shows some banks could get close to minimum capital levels with COVID, the pandemic that's going on. And then we've got an economic recovery right now that's in jeopardy because of COVID surging back across the United States. And yet, despite all of this, folks, despite all of it, Mitch McConnell is just going to sit back. He won't budge. He's going to sit back and he's going to wait for more economic chaos and loan defaults before even negotiating on extended unemployment benefits. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. This lack of Republican leadership, it's literally killing us. Folks, it's killing us in more ways than one. This flash briefing was brought to you by the Rusted Culture Podcast, and you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and Google Play, or wherever you find your podcast. Thanks for listening.